Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in
morning. We are up early to join the Cape Ann Whale Watch here in Gloucester, Massachusetts. There's our boat, the Daunte 5. She's taking us out in search of one of nature's most spectacular sights, humpback whales. Sounds like we're ready to get underway. Come on, let's go whale watching.
Boy, Jim, Jim. Great, good morning. Thank you.
At the spring, Jimmy.
Woo! This is great. Well, here we go. I'm hoping we'll be lucky and see some whales today. Humpback whales have been sighted not far from here along the North Atlantic coast. They migrate here to spend the summers feeding. You know, whales have an amazing sense of direction. They seem to know just how to get where they're going. But sometimes they can make a mistake and take a wrong turn. Well, that's what happens to Humphrey in this true story. It's called Humphrey, the Lost Whale.
Humphrey, the Lost Whale, a true story. By Wendy Tokuda and Richard Hall. Illustrations by Hanako Wakayama. Read by Jane Pauley. Far out at sea, a pod of humpback whales was traveling south for the winter. Humpback whales are magnificent creatures that sing to each other underwater. In the whole world, there are very few of them, so each one is quite special. Every winter, they travel south. Every summer, they head north, and they always know the way. But even whales can make mistakes. And one day, a whale named Humphrey made a big one. He turned away from his friends and wandered under the Golden Gate Bridge into San Francisco Bay. Everyone was surprised to see Humphrey in the bay. He was a spectacular sight, as long as a city bus and as big as seven elephants put together. When he came up to breathe, appearing as if by magic, people would stop whatever they were doing to watch him. Then, Humphrey did something no whale had ever done. Instead of swimming back out to sea, he went the wrong way, up the Sacramento River. The big river became smaller and smaller as Humphrey traveled upstream. He was looking for the ocean, but it was clear. Humphrey was lost. Hundreds of people came to see Humphrey. "There he is," they shouted. He was an amazing sight. But something was wrong. Whales are supposed to live in the salt water of the ocean, not in the fresh water of rivers. A whale would die if it stayed in fresh water too long. Humphrey was in trouble. The farther Humphrey went, the more worried everyone became. Then one day, Humphrey squeezed under a tiny bridge. It was so small, no one could understand how he had done it. Now he was really trapped. The river beyond the bridge was very shallow. Something had to be done to get him out of there. Humphrey looked sick. The scientists knew he would die if he didn't get back to the ocean. Time was running out. Scientists, Coast Guard officers, and many others got together to work out a plan to save Humphrey. They decided to bang long pipes together underwater and scare him back down the river. At the same time, they would play a recording that would broadcast underwater the sounds of whales eating. Maybe Humphrey would be so hungry and lonely, he would swim toward the sound. It worked! Humphrey turned around and started swimming back down the river. Everyone was relieved, but the danger wasn't over yet. When Humphrey arrived at the little bridge, he stopped. He couldn't find a space big enough to go through. People kept banging the pipes. Humphrey became angry. He rolled from side to side and thrashed his great tail. People stopped banging the pipes, but they didn't give up. They decided to make the space under the bridge bigger. They brought in a huge crane and worked through the night to clear away some of the old pilings. The next day, the people began banging the pipes together again. The boats moved closer to Humphrey to urge him on toward the bridge. This was his last chance. Everyone watched nervously. Humphrey bravely approached the bridge. But as he tried to swim under it, his head became lodged between the pilings. He frantically bobbed his head up and down and thrashed his tail to free himself. Suddenly, Humphrey lifted one fin way out of the water, almost touching the bridge. As he twisted his body, he broke free from the pilings and swam through to the other side. There was a shout from the riverbank, and then another and another until everyone was cheering. "Hooray for Humphrey," they shouted. He made it. Humphrey, the lost whale, was finally on his way home. A whole flotilla of boats and the clanging of pipes helped Humphrey find his way down the river. Finally, Humphrey arrived at San Francisco Bay. Humphrey spent one whole day happily swimming around the bay. He did tricks for the people gathered along the shore. Humphrey seemed to be saying goodbye and thank you to all his friends who had helped save his life. Finally, in the late afternoon fog, Humphrey swam under the Golden Gate Bridge and back out to sea. Humphrey the whale had made it.
Of course, Humphrey's story is about a whale, but it's also about all of the people who cared enough to help him find his way home.
The most amazing thing about Humphrey's story is that it really happened. As Humphrey swam up the Sacramento River, crowds of people came from everywhere to help the experts turn him around. They urged him on as he struggled to swim between the pilings under the bridge. There were some tense moments for everyone when it seemed that Humphrey might not make it. And when he finally succeeded, everyone cheered. All the people in the crowd felt they had a small part in Humphrey's success as they watched him swim to freedom. And Humphrey seemed to agree.
You and I might whale watch for fun and adventure, but scientists have different reasons. For naturalists like Cindy Belt, it's a great opportunity to study whales in their own environment.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, LeVar.
This is so beautiful out here. Now, what do we expect to see out there today?
Hopefully some humpback whales.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Cindy, you got some whales off the starboard bow.
Whoa, look at that.
It's a humpback whale. It's a pretty big one. It's probably 45 foot long. If you watch carefully, probably in a few seconds, the mouth will come right through there. Right there.
Whoa.
You can even see the mouth is open.
That's amazing.
And the baleen is right there filtering the water out,
That's
too.
All the stuff inside the jaw?
Exactly, yeah. See, instead of having teeth in their mouth,
mm-hmm.
they have something called baleen. There's this hairy fringe on the inside. And this hairy fringe acts like a big sieve. So when the water comes in and the fish comes in, the water just scoots right out and ends up in the ocean, and the fish are trapped right against that hairy fringe. And actually, if you look really closely, and if you listen closely too, you can see and hear them breathe. They have two blowholes, just like we have two nostrils, and they open really wide and then close right down again, so no water actually gets into the lungs, or they drown.
Or they drown, right.
A big whooshing sound. That's when they exhale,
mm-hmm.
and then they have to inhale.
That's when the water comes up too, right, on
well,
the exhale?
It's not really water. It's more like when we exhale on a winter day, you can see your breath.
Right.
It's moisture. It's not really water.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of times when they go down on a deeper dive, they'll bring the tail up and out into the air.
Uh-huh.
We call that fluking.
Their tails are called flukes?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And on the bottom of the humpback whale's tail is a pattern which is black and white. And we can actually tell individuals apart, just like people do with their fingerprints.
Right. So you can actually identify the whales by the patterns that are on their flukes?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that!
The animal's laying on its side, taking the flipper and slamming it on the water.
Now, why does it do that?
It's usually a social signal.
So it could be signaling to other whales?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Whales are sort of laying on their belly when we see them. We only see their back.
Right.
So if you rolled over, your hand came up and out into the air, you slammed it down. That's like the arm of the whale, almost, except
right.
we call it a flipper.
Look!
The whale just leaped completely out into the air.
That's amazing!
We call that breaching. Usually it's for communication, but even calves will do it. Sort of like playing.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're just fooling around and having a good time out there.
Jumping for joy almost.
Yeah. By watching and studying whales, we can help them to survive. But sometimes, as in Humphrey's case, human beings can step in to take action to save a whale that's in trouble. Well, recently on Cape Cod, not far from here, three young pilot whales found that out for themselves.
It's December 3rd, a cold winter afternoon. Along a 20-mile stretch of beach, a mysterious event is taking place. Dozens of pilot whales are beaching on the shore. A team of scientists and volunteers rush to the scene to help, but this is no easy task. They struggle desperately to push the 4 and 5 ton animals back into the sea. If they can get the whales past the shallows, they have a chance. If not, they will die. Greg Early from the New England Aquarium leads the rescue team.
Beaching is dangerous to to whales. It's very injurious to them and fatal if they're out of the water long enough. They're animals that are meant to spend their entire life with their body weight supported by water. In water, they don't weigh a thing. When they're out of the water, they weigh a ton and a half. And their body just isn't equipped to deal with that weight.
All night long and into the morning, Greg and his team of scientists and volunteers fight to save the whales. But the tide is out now, and most of them are hopelessly stranded, too badly injured to survive. By morning, more than 30 whales are stranded and dying. A heartbreaking finish for everyone. But the story doesn't end here. Three young calves who've lost their mothers are badly injured but have survived because they're young and small. For the first time ever, baby whales are carefully transported back to the New England Aquarium.
When the whales first arrived back here, they really were traumatized. They were borderline shocky. They were not in very good shape. They didn't respond to each other. They didn't respond to being in the pool. They didn't respond to us. We were taking things literally hour by hour. It was touch and go at the beginning.
In order to survive, the calves must eat. Until the rescue, they've been nursing. Now the staff teaches them to eat fish. Herring becomes their favorite, and to prevent infection, the fish are fortified with vitamins and antibiotics. By spring, the team's work has paid off, and the calves are strong again. They are swimming and playing together, herding behaviors necessary for their survival in the wild. Now, the most difficult phase of the rescue begins. A plan is hatched to return the whales to the sea. The team must find pilot whales for the calves to join, or their chances of survival are slim.
Nobody from up north.
Notch, Baby, and Tag now begin their journey home. Crew concentrates on keeping the whales healthy on the trip.
This is the research vessel Albatross 4, the research vessel.
Zinc oxide prevents sun and wind burn. And massage keeps muscles from stiffening. After 12 hours at sea, a herd of pilot whales is spotted. The plan is to lower all three and release them together into a pin attached to the side of the ship. Notch is first, and immediately he's in trouble. The pitch and roll of the ship causes the harness to swing out of control. He almost slams into the side of the ship. And when he gets to the pen, Notch panics. He's caught in the ropes. If the crew can't free him, he'll drown. Finally, the ropes are cut, and Notch swims off alone. A bitter disappointment. Notch has little chance to survive on his own. Now the crew works quickly to release Baby and Tag together. Suddenly, Notch returns, and Baby and Tag swim to join him. What a feeling! Notch, Baby, and Tag are home.
One of the best ways for us to help protect the whales is to know more about them. So, here are some books that will help you to scratch the surface. But
You don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, I'm Sean Teal. I'd like to tell you about a book that's going to take you on a great adventure. You might even call it a whale of an adventure. The name of the book is Whale Watch. The kids in the book go on a whale watch in the Pacific Ocean. They get a chance to watch the whales breach, which means to come straight out of the water. I think it'd be neat to be out in a boat and be right next to a whale. I can't wait to go on my first whale watch. If I were a whale, I'd swim all over the world and show off for whale watchers. But since I'm not, I'm gonna go home and read my book again. Why don't you read it too?
Hi, my name's Michael Raffay. I'd like to tell you about a new book called The Life Cycle of the Whale. It's filled with lots of fun facts about whales. Did you know that many great whales don't have teeth? Instead of teeth, these whales have baleen. My favorite picture was of a baby humpback whale and its mother. This is a great book. I hope you'll enjoy the pictures and find the information interesting. I did. Read The Life Cycle of the Whale.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Saunders. Did you know that humpback whales can actually sing songs? Well, neither did I until I read this book called All About Whales. The book describes how a whale lives and eats. Did you know that a humpback whale eats about a ton of food a day? That's enough to last a human a whole year. There are so many interesting things about whales that someday I hope I can see one. But in the meantime, I can read books about them, and so can you.
One of the most extraordinary discoveries about humpback whales is that they sing. During the mating season, male humpbacks compose songs sometimes hours long. Now, how and why they sing is one of nature's great mysteries, but they compose beautiful, haunting melodies. Just listen.
Rising up towards the sky. Whales singing so mysteriously, I want to sing along, but the words just pass me by.
There were hundreds of thousands of whales in our oceans. Today, they're almost gone. Why? Well, mostly because of hunting and pollution. Now, hunting has been outlawed, but we still pollute our oceans. Take this stuff, for example. Plastic bottles and wrappers thrown into the water are deadly to the sea life that lives there. When you finish your beach picnic, please clean it up. That's one way we can be sure that years from now, your children will be able to enjoy the thrill of watching whales, and maybe even hear the humpback sing. See you next time.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are Humphrey the Lost Whale, A True Story. Story by Wendy Takuda and Richard Hall. Illustrations by Hanako Wakiyama. Published by Hyun International Incorporated. Whale Watch by June Behrens. Photographs collected by John Olguin. Published by Children's Press. The Life Cycle of the Whale by Paula Z. Hogan. Illustrations by Karen Holt, published by Rain Tree Publishers. All About Whales by Dorothy Henshaw Patent, published by Holiday House.